And in spite of this, they still sin. In spite of what? They saw the examples of people dying because of this, and you would have thought it would have scared them and humbled them, but it did not. Shows you how stubborn and willful people can be. And it says, in spite of all of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous work. Therefore, their days he consumed in emptiness and their years in fear. Speaking of the 40 days, they were 40 years. He made them wander, this whole generation. And though he took care of them and even did deliverances for the children's sake, can you imagine knowing that your purpose for the next year, 40 years, is just to die? How horrible. But that's what he told them. You will wander. And Moses led them all around the desert for years until they all died. That was their purpose. That's why they spent their days in emptiness. God had no more use for them. He only kept them alive so they can raise the kids and take care of the children, which they said would the enemy would kill them. And God turned it on them again. He always turns it on them. They said the land's too strong and the enemies are like giants. And after God delivered them out of Egypt, and they're worried about a few people, tribes, shows you how disobedient. And God says, well, you will wander. He said, you will wander for 40 till you're dead. And he says, and your children, which you said would be a prey, he says, they will go in, but you will not. See, God turns it on them. He listens to what people says, and that's what he uses sometimes to judge them with. So they'll remember why they're being judged, why wrath is on them. Okay, notice what it says. And it says, and when he slew them, then they sought him. Again, there were times they halfway repented, and they tried to get right, but it didn't seem to last long. They remembered God, their rock, and the Most High God. And notice verse 36, it's like it didn't last too long. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth. They lied to him with their tongue, and their heart was not steadfast with him. They were faithless in his covenant. See, they got afraid, and then when they were being punished, they promised they'll do all these things. You know, some of us have, well, I promise I'll be good. You know, and God was saying, yeah, we'll see. But see, he knew their wicked hearts. Why should they change now? After everything he'd done for them, he wasn't intending on doing anything great. See, he already knew they were set in their evil as a whole. And they lied to him and flattered him. If you do this, we'll do that. How many times have you heard that? I used to counsel people on all the deals they'll try to make with God. God makes no deals. That reveals a wicked heart. Okay? And so again, they forget. Go down to 41. Yet again and again, they tested or tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit God? He would not, nor could he, fulfill his prophecies to them. See? Sin causes God to reject and relent and recant, because most of his promises, at least to individuals, are conditional on people meeting the condition. He told them all the good things he was going, I'll lead you into land of flow of milk and honey. Did they get in? That generation did. He let them all die. They did not taste one drop of the milk. The next one did, but they didn't. He promised to do deliver them to their enemies, turn the enemies out. He didn't. He let the enemies defeat them. All the promises made to him, he backed out of. See, because again, they were conditional. If you stay in the covenant and you obey me, they did not obey. They rebelled. And even the scripture says that any time the Lord says that I speak concerning a people and I prophesy I will do them good, he says, if they sin against me, I will repent of the good I intended to do them, and I will do them evil. This is God. That's the law of prophecy. So when people are claiming promises, when they're rebellious and lukewarm and disobedient, they're going to believe a lying spirit, because God has no intentions of keeping it. They did not stay on the right path. Therefore, the promise is canceled. Because that's what they don't understand. All the promises of God are yea and amen to those who believe. To those who are committed to God and stay in him, then whatever promises he gives, they're sure to come to pass. But if you don't continue in the Spirit, no. You say they do not apply. And he has canceled out many. So what did they do? They limited what God could do because of their sin. And what he intended to do them good, he changed his mind. Even Jesus said when he was in a certain place, he could not do certain miracles because of the people's unbelief. It wasn't that he could not perform the miracles, that God would not, because of their disobedience and not trusting him. He has not changed. So I know people that I've counseled over the years. They're going back 20 years to some promise God gave them. And I said, you forfeited that promise 19 years and 10 months ago. Because that's when you backslid and you disobeyed God. And what he promised you does not apply. And if you keep believing it, you're a liar. And you're going to believe a lie. And I've seen many people stand on Scripture. Children of Israel tried it. God had given them all these promises, told them to go into the land, I'm going to drive the enemy. And then one day he said, enough's enough, you're going to wander until you die. And the next day they said, we're ready to obey God's word. Why? Because they wanted the promises. And we will go in. And Moses said, don't go in. And they went anyway, and the enemies killed them. God did not keep his promise, because they did not. See, he did not deliver them. And they wandered and dropped dead. And they never saw those promises come to pass. Yet God intended to do it. He said, I intended to do them good, but they rebelled against me. Okay, so we see again their continuous rebellion. And it says what? And they did not remember his power and the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. They should have, in all the murmuring complainings, gone back to Egypt and remembered when God had them put the blood over the door and eat of the roasted lamb and how he destroyed Egypt's power. That should have been enough to say, he can deliver us. God can be trusted. But they did not. And that's why they could not enter in. Hebrews chapter 3. Worth reading. 17. Now with whom was God angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness because of their sin? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey him? See, he swore then in his anger, now the promises won't come to pass. I will destroy you. See, that was a sure promise. Grace was withdrawn. But notice what he says. So we see that they could not enter because of disobedience. Everything he told them, he says, now it don't apply to you. Because you're not in covenant with me no more. You're in rebellion. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us, who? Those in the new covenant now, Christians, let us watch it, lest any of you seem to come short of it. What? Of the promise. It says you can come short of grace. And God's same promises through Christ Jesus will not avail you. If you tempt Christ, it says you will be destroyed. So he's saying what? There is no distinction. God does not honor sin and disobedience, and he never will. And will cause a person to be cut out of a covenant. Second Peter. Again, all of that was written for us. We're to listen to this. Second Peter, look at verse 1, chapter 1, 12. Therefore, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. What was reminding them? He spent the whole previous chapter saying, if you walk in the Spirit and you produce this fruit, then God will find a way into heaven for you. And if you don't, you will not make it. He tells them, and this is Peter speaking, that those in the new covenant can forfeit everything the same as those in the old covenant could. Verses, briefly, go to 56. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God. They did not keep his words. They turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. And they were turned aside like a deceitful bow. It meant when God intended to use them for something, it was worthless. You go into battle with a gun, and the gun all of a sudden doesn't have no bullets. What good is it? He says that's how they were. I intended to make them a priesthood. I intended to make them a glory among the nations. And they were too defiled. And they collapsed in my hand. Jeremiah says they were marred in the master's hand. And he decided to make another work, but he discarded them. you know, and went on. See, that generation lost it. For they provoked him to anger with their gods, their high places, and they moved him to jealousy with their craven images. And when God heard it, he was furious. Several times he says that word means his anger is totally complete. This is the wrath of God. Means once it's acts on this, he does not turn away. Even at times when he poured out his wrath on different segments of Israel, when they tried to repent, he says, no, when I've rewarded you double for your sins, then I'll listen to you, or I might. So there's a time, no time to, a judgment day is no time to say sorry. It's too late. The fury of God and his vengeance has come then. When Jesus returns the second time, it says without salvation. He's not coming this time as king to offer salvation. He's coming to judge the wicked and set up. That will not be the time to try to get right with God, you know. And when God withdraws grace, that's when his wrath comes into place. Again, they provoked him. Notice, he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh and the tent which he had placed among them. He delivered them to their enemies and his glory into the enemies' hands. Why did he do this? What is he talking about? Here we can think of the time when the Philistines came in and doing Eli, the wicked priest, remember, who honored his sons above God and allowed his priestly sons to act adulterously and rob the offerings from the people. They were corrupt priests, and he as the high priest did not rebuke them. He should have ordered them to be put to death. Moses would have. Moses would have put him to death for it. But he loved his sons and honored them more than he did God. And God killed him after warning him not only through Samuel but through another prophet, told him what he was going to do to him. And when he told him what he was going to do to him, he did not try to repent. He just simply said, and it was not in the right spirit, well, the Lord do what he thinks is best. And God says, I already decided what I'm going to do with you. And this wicked priest, who had made himself fat off of the wickedness of his sons and the people. They were going to battle with the Philistines, and his wicked son said, let's take the ark with us, because they were superstitious, and they thought the ark will protect us. It had protected them before. But when they went in, God let the enemies take the ark and kill his sons. And it's interesting, when the messenger came back, even Eli, he was still a little afraid of God. They told him, your sons were both killed. And he didn't react. But when they said, but the ark is captured, he fell down and broke his neck and died. A broken neck is a curse. He was cursed of God because he did not do his duty. And Samuel had warned him as a child, and others had warned him. And see, they thought, and it's interesting, the ark, the symbol of God's presence, it plagued the enemy. But it would not deliver Israel because they did not keep the covenant. They were taken over and destroyed. So a lot of people are claiming to have grace and faith when they're not obeying the covenant. It's a false faith, and it's a false grace. And when they drop dead, they're going to hell, thinking they're Christians because they said some little prayer when they were 14 years old. Or they shed a little crocodile tear one day. It means nothing to God. They did not stay in his covenant, and they were lost. So this is what he's talking about. When they got into the land, that you can quote scripture, you can quote the promises, and God will mock you. And not only will he mock that person, he'll say, demons, go lie to them. Not only do I not want them having the truth, I want you to fix a good lie for them, because they have consistently rebelled against my spirit. See, that's the wrath of God. And he does it in this life. See, a lot of people think he's waiting until judgment day. I used to think that. Why doesn't God judge these false teachers and these false Christians? And one day the Holy Spirit said to me when I was praying and seeking him, he says, I'm judging them. I've given them over to lies. I've let them believe and be deceived. And they won't get right because they don't think they're wrong. They're like the Laodiceans. We have everything and have need of nothing. They're like Sardis. We are alive. And Jesus said, but you're dead. And you don't know it. See, that's what the lying spirit does. So he's judging them. Many people are thinking they're going to get great rewards when they meet the Lord, and they're going straight to hell, saying, Lord, Lord. Many backsliders, many people who think they're spirit-filled are on their way to hell. And sometimes you can discern it, and God tells you, keep your mouth shut. They've been warned enough. He told Samuel this. How long will you pray for Saul? seeing that I've rejected him. See, he prayed for him many times, and then God says, don't pray no more, because I won't hear your prayer. I'm not going to show mercy on Saul. I've utterly removed my grace, and I've sent a demon to terrorize him. And God never changed his mind. And even Samuel said, the glory of Israel, the strength of Israel, is not a man that he should lie. See, that's horrible when God says, that's it. And a multitude of people. I know backslidden, so-called spirit-filled Christians that are on their way to hell, and they think they're okay with God. And God tells me, keep your mouth shut and utter not a word. They'll mock your warnings, and you've warned enough. Don't mock them. Don't cast pearls. Leave them alone. Like Jesus said, leave them alone. And when they fall, they'll fall into the ditch. That's the wrath of God being exercised in our lifetime. Isaiah chapter 30. Why does he do this to people? Why does he give us warnings? Isaiah 30. First of all, look at verses 8 through 10. Now go, write before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come that they'll read this forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the word of the Lord. They don't want to hear it. Who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak smooth things to us, prophesy lies, get out of the way, and turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of God to cease. We don't want to hear about your Jesus. Tell us that it doesn't matter as long as you're sincere. We don't want to hear the narrow way, you know. You seers, you who have prophetic visions. He's saying, the people said, don't talk to us no more. We don't hear it. And if you're going to talk to us, tell us what we want to hear. And we don't care if it's a lie, if it makes us feel good. We only want a positive word. Well, it hasn't changed, is it? That's what they're saying today. They may not verbalize this, but their reactions to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God's dealings is the same, and God answers them the same. Verse 15, and thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence you would be your strength. But notice what he says, but you would not. I offered you repentance. Even when you turned against me, I gave you opportunities, but you did not want it. You didn't stop there. What happens then? Amos chapter 8. You should read it often because it surely applies today. 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming. Because you did not want the truth, and you resist my spirit, and you continuously are stubborn and rebellious toward me, here's what I'm going to do to you. He warns them. He told Ahab what he was going to do, and Ahab was not capable of comprehending. The same thing's happening today. I've seen it. The days are coming, says the Lord God, I will send a famine on the land, not of bread nor of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Isn't that horrible? There's going to be people that you know and I know that are going to come to God too late. And they're going to be seeking God for answers, but God isn't talking no more to them. See, that's the horror. They better come while he's offering the invitation. That's why Hebrews says today is the day of salvation. See, he offered it to Israel for 2 years or more. He tested them 10 times, and then he says, you will not enter the land. And the next day, they came back and said, we'll go, we will obey. But he said, but I'm not offering it no more. And they kept seeking. And Esau sought it with tears. And God says, but I'm not offering it no more. The people in hell are screaming in torment, and they know where they're at. But God isn't offering nothing to them anymore. In closing, Jeremiah. We're getting close to closing. Jeremiah chapter 6. Look at verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised. Means that it's not been opened by the Lord. And they cannot give heed. Why? Because he's hardened them. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them, and they have no delight in it. See, if you read what Jesus did to the Pharisees, and Isaiah prophesied it, he says, speak to them parables that they will hear mentally, but they will not hear spiritually. God says, so I won't be able to heal them spiritually. And he says, go and blind them. They will see, but they won't really see spiritually. That was God's fulfilling his word to that wicked generation. And Jesus taught in parables for that reason, that they could not hear nor see. They had already worn God out. Yet to the simple and the harlots and the tax collectors, who the Pharisees thought were the most wicked, God opened their understanding. He opened their ears. They were willing to accept God's truth, and they were not consistently fighting against him. And he offered repentance to them, but he did not. And that was God's punishment. Isaiah prophesied it. And he told them the same thing. You will seek me, but you will not find me, and you will die in your sins. He says the same thing Amos said. You will come and seek, but you'll come and seek too late. Remember, we talked last week, Jesus said, walk in the light while you have the light. For darkness comes when no man works. Once God says, that's it. Once the master shut the door, the five foolish virgins, he said, I don't know you. And he knew them. He knew them mentally. He simply meant, but I have no relationship with you anymore. You were lazy and disobedient, and therefore you cannot enter in to the land. Look at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old path. Everything today is a new hope and the new beginning. And the new is nothing new, you know. They just don't know what sound doctrine is. They're looking for new teachings, but they're doctrines of demons. The old gospel has not changed. The old message has never changed. Hasn't changed for 2,000 years. False teachers have tried to change it to accommodate the multitudes, but the multitudes go to hell with them on the broad way of destruction. And notice what it says, and ask for me of the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. These people cannot find rest. They have a false peace. They have peace in materialism and their money and their fame and their pride and their restlessness. But when they drop dead, they will be tormented and have no peace forever and ever. This is the lying peace that God has sent them because they did not want the truth of God's word. Peace, peace. There is no peace for the wicked. If a wicked person has peace, it simply means he's been hardened and his conscience is seared, and it doesn't bother him no more. That's simply what it means. Okay? And notice he said, if you would seek me and come to me and find out the ways, because I'm the Lord who changes not, then you would find rest for your souls. But notice the sad answer. But they said, we will not walk in it. The most dangerous person spiritually is the person who hears God's word and says, well, I'm not going to do that. That is the person who borderlines on blaspheme and the Holy Spirit. He just doesn't know it. See, people think you have to be an Adolf Hitler or a Stalin to blaspheme. No. People blaspheme the Holy Spirit in one sentence and one moment, as Ananias and Sapphira did and was struck dead. God just doesn't always strike people dead. He just spiritually strikes them dead and says, that's it, and he walks away. And the person doesn't know it. He's like Saul. He still wanders looking for some information. He still looks for something, but he's not going to find it because the Spirit of grace has removed himself. See? So what is he telling us? All of these things, the Scripture says, was written for you, to whom the ends of the earth have come. If you do what they did, I will act toward you the exact same way. If you wear me out, you test my patience. If you keep falling and falling and you do not learn your lesson, one day I will turn my back on you and cast you aside as a disqualified reprobate, as a broken vessel that is worthless to me. And I will not turn my eye on you ever again. See, people don't want to be told that. And false teachers tell you that you can come to God anytime you want to. And the Scripture doesn't teach this. See? Initially, that's true. But many people who are walking the earth today and who are sitting in churches Sunday morning have already blasphemed the Spirit. They just don't know it. And life's good for them. And they're saying, Lord, Lord. And they're giving tithes and offerings. But they're past repentance. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give us examples and you tell us that you are the Lord who does not change. When it comes to morality and sin, you've never changed under any covenant. You demand holiness and practical holiness. You will not abide by lip service, nor mere ritual, nor confession of truth. You demand the person to submit and follow the spirit of holiness, or you will not keep them in the way. Give us grace, Lord, to obey, and give us grace to see that we have the choice to follow you or to be deceived as the rest are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.